Blog Talk Radio.
That's out there listening in PRF table land. Welcome, happy new year, all that good stuff. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, and we just want to say thank you for joining us for our first show for 2015. So let me just introduce to you those who are new to the PRF table and just don't know how we get down here at the PRF table. So I'm going to do it in no specific order. The first person I'm going to introduce is a woman that's kind of special and dear to my heart. Her name is Mary Ann Williams, and we just call her Mama around here. So, Mama, how are you doing this evening?
I am just fine. I am just so blessed. And want to say Happy New Year to my PRF family 2015.
Yes, Happy New Year.
And also sitting at the table with us is another special lady near and dear to my heart. Her name is Adia Sanders, and this is the firecracker of the crew, if you will. So y'all just hold on tight. Y'all will see what I mean in a minute, because I think we're going to get on and talking tonight. So, Adia, how you doing this evening, cousin?
I am doing really, really good. I'm so glad to be back at the table, and I'm ready to get the show started tonight, and I'm just really just looking forward to go forth. I'm excited. Woo! I am. I'm excited.
Yes.
This is what we're doing tonight. Let me just throw some housekeeping rules out there, because it has been a couple of weeks since we have been on the air. Christmas was on one Thursday. New Year's Day was on the other Thursday. So sometimes God just has to put all of us into a place where we just sit back, hear from Him. For me personally, what I had to do was kind of drown out some of the noise that has been entering into my space from various angles, primarily online, Facebook, and other folks that's talking about a bunch of foolishness. So I think I am rejuvenated in that sense and ready to just get back to what God has called us to do here at the PRF table. One of the things that I definitely want to do tonight, before we go any further, is really just to do like a trifold thank you. One, I want to thank all of our listeners who have been with us for these past 2 years here on Blog Talk Radio. We just don't take it lightly that we've had as many listeners as we have had over these last 2 years. And it is definitely a blessing, and it's definitely, again, nothing that we take lightly and nothing we take for granted. Also, I want to thank all of our guests who have labored with us over these 2 years, who have took the time out of their schedule to come and share as God has placed certain things and inside of them and giving them certain gifts and talents to be able to share with us and you, our listening community. And also, I just really got to thank all of the hosts of the PRF table. Even though we all don't get a chance to sit down at the table all the time at the same time, but it's just like family. Sometimes when you go home for a holiday, you may not get everybody. Sometimes Uncle Bobo may be there, and sometimes he may not be there. So let me just tell you, all of you who are listening, especially for the first time, all of us who are the host of this show. There is not one person that is the host. We all host this show together. Amen. So, of course, myself, Nathaniel Dunlap Jr. Some people call me Nate. Some people call me JR. So if you hear those, we're not talking about somebody that's bipolar. It's just, you know, I got different names that I go by. Adia Sanders, who is over there in El Paso, Texas. Mary Ann Williams, who is in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Shatara Sherwood, who is over there in Arizona. Brother Reverend Warren Feaster, who is way, way across the waters over in Korea. Those are your hosts at the PRF table, and we are just so grateful. I'm saying thank you as the one who God just gave this vision to a couple of years ago, but Mama, Adia, Shatara, Brother Feaster, I promise you, I could not do what God has called me to do without your help. So I really want to say that just to put that out there. I thank y'all and love y'all for it. Now, let's get it cranking. Let me tell you how we're going to start off 2015. And I I have put some thought into it, and I think that it's really going to work the way we're trying to do it for 2015. One of the things that I want to say is I really want to get a lot more of your involvement. So I'm talking about you, the listeners. I'm talking about us as the hosts. I'm talking about those guests. If you know anybody that will be somebody who is good to talk about, an expert in their area, we want you just to reach out to us so that we can get them onto the air. Let me give you a perfect example. Last year, I believe it was in December, there was a young man by the name of Chris, Chris Ox. And this young man, if you had listened to that show, he reached out to me and said, hey, I just want, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but I just want to let you know that I'm out here. And if you need anybody to come speak, you know, I'm willing. That took courage, but that also took just listening to the voice of God to make sure that he was not sitting down on his gifts. So it just happened to be on a Wednesday when he contacted me, and I said, you know what, Lord, if there's a way that I can infuse him into our tomorrow night show, because we already had it set, let's do it. And it worked out perfectly, and he came from a perspective that just blew most of us away. You may not know this, but on Christmas, I, with the assistance of many others, have a service on Christmas Day, because as many of us know, there's a lot of our churches in our communities that do not have service on Christmas Day to honor the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God placed that on my heart 2 years ago, and we did it on Christmas Day again. And believe it or not, I asked Chris to come in and preach the message that morning. And I promise you, it was just phenomenal. And he just really just blew our minds away, because he's 18 years old and a youth pastor and anointed and not scared. So we're going to infuse that young voice. That's my hope for 2015, is to infuse that young voice into our shows, because it can't just be us. It has to be who does God want us to have here. So that's how we want the involvement. We want to make sure that that everybody who is possible, go out to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Go and see what type of activity we're going on. But we can put our topics out there on the Facebook page, but if you're not interacting with us, then it's not as fruitful as the conversations could actually be. So we just encourage everybody to go and do that. Go to the Facebook page, join in on the conversation, the topics. Put out there to us, what topics would you like to hear? What are some of the things that's going on in your world, in your space, that you think we need to be talking about here on the PRF table? And we'll, through God's help, we'll go ahead and get that started as well. The other thing is, if you're listening online and you want to jump into the conversation and actually communicate your comments or your questions or your thoughts or your ideas, the telephone number, which does not change, it is 914-338-1692, 914-338-1692. Call in, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up here on our switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation. So, Mama Adia, as we always say, everybody has a seat at the table. So it doesn't matter if you are Christian, Jewish, Muslim. I know some people are going to have offense to it. God bless you. But everybody should be able to have a seat at the table. That's one of the things that I think is wrong with a lot of our communities, is a lot of people don't have a seat at the table. And to be honest with you, I am going to be so super bold this year that we may lose some listeners. I am going to be so super bold, because I promise you, I cannot do anything but be bold for God this year. It's not a New Year's resolution. It is just in my time of being able to sit back, reflect, and dealing what I've been dealing with for the last couple of months. So that's the bottom line. Yeah, that's it. There is going to be a boldness here on the PRF table. Nobody's going to shut us down, so we're not worried about that. Only thing we have to worry about is not doing what God has called us to do, and I think I don't even want to have that worry in my mind. So there you go.
Thank you.
Tonight's show is called Financial Healing. And what I think I feel I'm led for us to do is to not have a new topic every week. Have a month-long series dealing with one topic so that we can really, really just dig down into whatever it is that God has placed in our heart. I remember last year I had preached a message, and I had a friend of mine who is a pastor at asked me to preach for him and run services at his church for him for the month of May, I believe it was. And he said, you know, he was tired, he was on vacation, and I remember preaching, and then I said, you know what, I'm not done. I know we closed service, gave the benediction, but that wasn't it. And so when we came back, I really picked up where I kind of ended off with. And I brought some of the same things to the table. And I remember also before that, I posted on Facebook, I said, if I preached the same message 2 weeks in a row when you knew that I was going to do that, would you come for both weeks? And I'm telling you, I was just amazed and blown away that there was some actual, some of our folk that actually said, you know, hear a message twice, and I'm, again, here comes this boldness. That's a thing of ignorance, because the reality is, in most of our churches, we hear the same ending of a sermon every single time. Jesus born, he died, crucified, died, buried, rose again, all power in his hand. Hear the same thing week after week. Not that that's not important, but we hear it. So there is it may need to be a reminder, not for you sitting there, but it may be a reminder for the person sitting next to you that didn't catch that last week. So what we're going to do on the PRF table is we're going to have month-long series so that we can actually dig deep down into whatever the topic is. And I think for us, starting off this year, is going to be for financial healing. So with that, let us go ahead and get started. I have a couple of questions out here. And here are some of the questions that I want us to even talk about. And I think I'll just start off with the first one and let Mama, you and Adia, y'all can start chopping it up. But financial healing, when you hear that topic, is this even a topic that is even worth discussing? Why or why not? Is this something that we even need to be dealing with here on the PRF table at this particular time, in this particular space, in this new year that God has allowed us to see? So I've been talking for a while. I'm going to go ahead and get me a glass of water. Y'all know how I do. Mama, dear, what do y'all think?
Okay, in my opinion. Okay, you go ahead.
I would say yes. There's definitely a need for this topic. And I say that not because we are just coming out of the Christmas season and we already know with that conversation what some of the things that we talked about last year that preempted the topic of, you know, in December that we talked about right before Christmas and in November as well about just, you know, the holiday spending, giving tips, giving encouraging words for holiday spending, because we know that a large majority of people, I think we confirmed that a lot of people file for bankruptcy in January and February, even though they're going to get their taxes back and different things like that. So I think that there's a need. Now, you talked about boldness, and you definitely confirmed some stuff that I spoke to you offline about. But what I would like to say, and I'm not trying to be funny or nothing like that, is that when you said financial healing, the song that came to my mind, I think it's by Marvin Gaye, about sexual healing. And so when I was thinking about that, our bodies have a need for certain things. And a lot of the times, the things that our bodies need, we're not giving it to our bodies. Our bodies need vitamin D. Our bodies need vitamin C. Our body needs enough sleep. Our bodies need to be cleansed, hygiene, all of those things that need to happen. But if we were to sit back and ask people, are they really taking care of their body? Would the answer be, oh, yes, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. I'm getting enough physical exercise that I need. I'm making sure that I'm eating right so that I don't have high cholesterol and all of these other issues. So when I translate that over to if I need financial healing, when I sit back and look at my financial portfolio, maybe it won't be, you know, a professional one, but if I sit back and look at my financial portfolio, do I need financial healing? Do I have the knowledge? Do I have the education? Do I have what I need in order to make important decisions about my finances? And if the answer to one, two, or three of those questions is no, then you are in need of financial healing. And I think that we all are, maybe some more than others, but I think that this is a topic that needs to be talked about for several reasons. One, we talked about, you know, if you brought gifts for your children that exceeds the amount that you don't even have for them in savings or in a for a 529 college savings plan, then something is very wrong with that. If you didn't even prioritize or look at what your priorities were going into the holiday season and you overextended yourself financially, then you need financial healing. And so the questions that you ask are important and they are pertinent and they are relevant for the 21st century and they are relevant for 2015, because what the one decision that people need to make, it may be financial healing. It may be in the area of finances. Maybe everything else in your life is going okay. But that one decision that they need to make is in the area of finances. And if we skirt over it, if we just do the magic hand wave, if we act like it's treated like it's the pink elephant in the room, we see it but we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, then we're going to continue to have people in the same situation that they've always been in. We'll continue to have people that are going to our churches, that live next door to us, that are in our communities, that we work with, that are still in poverty, that are still living off of a tight budget because they don't know what to do or they have nothing. They have no idea what they're supposed to be doing. So they're battling up against their lights being cut off, not having gas money, not being able to make their car payment or only can make half of it because they haven't made the one decision that they need to make, which is in the area of their finances, to say, I'm going to make the decision, come hell or high water, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to discipline myself and all of those things that I continue to do that has got me in the same situation that I was in 2014. I refuse to do it in 2015. I'm going to make the decision to do something different because I need financial healing. And that's where we have to get to and go past that, so that we can see progress and it not continue to be a conversation, but we see the work actually being done. And I'm going to pass it over to Cousin Mama Mary.
Wow. Wow. Is that an act to follow? Okay. I'm going in another direction with it. I'm thinking about when I burnt myself on my arm, and it was just a small scar. Nothing really big. And so I didn't have no reason to continue to look at it. But just periodically I would look at it and I could see it was getting larger. Mm-hmm. You know, not that large, but, you know, a little bit larger. Then I didn't really pay that much attention because it wasn't that much larger. And then I paid no attention for a long, long time. All of a sudden it's getting larger and larger. And then I'm concerned now. But I wasn't concerned enough to go to the doctor and have it checked out. Because why? Because it was just a grease, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything that just popped up automatically. So I really didn't take it serious. And I think about, it's the same thing with my finances, you know. You know, you know that it seems like you can't get it together, but it's something that it just gets larger. You're 1 month behind, then after a while, you know, you're 2 months behind, and then you're wheeling and dealing over here. It's over here. Now you got that paid up. I got that bill, say electric, paid up. Now, oh my gosh, now I got to deal with my other bill, you know, and it's just. It's frustrating. It nags you. It's just nagging. It's something that nags you. And until I went to the doctor, and then he had to do a test on it. And when I found out that it wasn't, because then when he looked at it, he said, "Wow, you know, I have to see if this is cancerous." Oh, then I got scared. I go, "Oh my Lord," you know. And then I started thinking about how I should have had this looked at earlier. And then when the test came and it was negative, I was fine, you know. Well, it's the same thing, you know, with the finances, you know. Things do happen. And then because you haven't taken care of what you, like you said, just make that decision to do it no matter what. And it's a sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's a sacrifice. And I have to decide, do I want to make a sacrifice so my bills won't become cancerous?
Yeah.
You know, that I'm always in fear.
Yeah.
keeps you in fear. I got to take them a notice. Okay, here come disconnect notice. Okay, you get that disconnect notice taken care of, okay. But now here come another one for next month because you took that money. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of living in that spirit of fear. It's a cycle, and it never ends. So somewhere I have to decide, do I want to live this way? Now, I've been working on my finances because they were really, really, really messed up. But I'm not where I want to be. So I know that, you know, it's good that I did what I did. But now, this is another year now. And at the end of this year, I don't want to be in that cycle. You know what I mean? I want to be able to save some money, you know, and be able to do some of the things that really need to be done that are not done. You know, like I really need some dental work done, you know. And so, you know, I just have to make a choice. How do I want to live?
Yeah.
How do I want to live? You know, it's my choice. And I have the tools. I have someone to help me if I need help. But anyone can do is just suggest to you. They can't make you do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this year I'm really focusing on doing what I need to do so I can get out of this cycle. That's my focus for this year, you know. I didn't make any kind of New Year's, no. This is what I need to do, period. Not no New Year's Eve, you know, resolution. No,
amen.
This is what I need to live to survive because it's gnawing at me. It's constantly gnawing at me, you know. And after a while, you become a total wreck when the bill comes in.
Amen.
That's all I got to say.
Amen.
And I'm glad you brought that out when I was getting prepared for the show today. I wrote that word out as well. I wrote resolutions. So let's go there. This is not one of the questions that I have posted on the Blog Talk page, but it is relevant. We know that there are a lot of individuals who have placed New Year's resolutions because that's the thing of the world. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be anybody but who you are. But everybody out here knows, so many of us already know, that when New Year's comes around, that people are talking about New Year resolutions. What am I going to do differently next year that I didn't do this year? Well, here is the reality for resolutions. If you took a poll within your church, if you took a poll within your family structure, I'm not talking about the two or three people that live in the house with you, but, you know, your cousins, your uncles, all those folk, and you ask this question, did you have a New Year's resolution for 2014? And if they answer that question with a yes, the next question that I challenge you to ask is, how successful were you? How successful were you in 2014 with your resolution? Let me get ignorant with it. Did you make the resolution that you set for 2013? Did you make the resolution you set for 2012? I'm being ignorant with it because it sounds crazy. It's just like we were talking about Christmas a couple years ago. And I asked the question, I think, 2 years ago, tell me what you got for Christmas last year. If people don't remember the gifts that they got for Christmas on the previous year, which Christmas is a good time, a happy time, joyous, and all that good stuff, and you're receiving something on a special day like that, and you can't remember that, how in the world can I expect you to remember what your resolution was 3 or 4 years ago?
Exactly.
So maybe what I'm throwing out there is resolutions are pointless. Maybe they're just pointless. First of all, it's not a God thing. It's a man thing. It's something for individuals to say, this is what I'm going to do so that I have a better life next year. But the God thing would be this, okay? You say that you are going to pay off this particular debt next year. The God thing will be planning.
Amen.
That's the God thing. So if you're making a resolution, I'm talking to us now, if you're going to make a resolution and God is not involved in that resolution other than I'm going to go pray about it, faith without works is dead, so you can keep praying all day long, but if you don't get out there and do anything behind it, then Don't expect it to happen.
Amen.
So I'm glad, Mama, that you brought up resolutions, because resolutions mean nothing without any action. But first and foremost, there needs to be a plan behind it. Somebody who was out of work in 2014. So we have folk in this country that have been out of work for a couple of years, right? I'm going to get me a job in 2015. Well, if you've been searching for 2014, you've been searching for 2013, what different thing are you going to do in 2015? May I suggest some of it may mean that you need to change your circle of friends. If I got 1,000 doggone friends on Facebook and I'm unemployed, something wrong. Because evidently all those friends can't help me in my situation. I got 1,000 friends on Facebook and I'm still unemployed. Really? I need to cut my circle down. So what is it that we're going to do? What I'm looking for us to do, this is me kind of answering the question for those of you who just joined in. We're talking about financial healing, and this is our January 2015 series. The question that we're dealing with, that we're talking about, is this a topic that's even worth discussing? Is it a topic even worth discussing? And I say yes, evidently. I really say yes, this is a topic worth discussing. But let me throw this out here. Once we discuss the topic of financial healing, something has to come after that. So here's the next question for us to talk about. And if you're online and you want to jump into the conversation, press 1 on your dial tone. If you call in at 914-338-1692, or post your question on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Here's my next question. Are you looking for the Band-Aid resolution? Or are you looking for something that will transform your year and those around you? That's the big question. That's the big question for this month. Are you looking for a Band-Aid resolution, or are you trying to transform your 2015 or whatever it is that you need to do in this year? But not just for you, but for also those individuals around you. I'm gonna start off with that one, y'all. I'm not looking for Band-Aid fixes. The reason I'm not looking for Band-Aid fixes is because I don't have anything that is oozing out of the wound right now. See, if I was unemployed, a Band-Aid fix is good, as long as I got some money coming in to pay the bills. So I'm not throwing away the Band-Aid resolution as if it's not important. But me personally, I'm not needing the Band-Aid resolution. So being though I don't need that Band-Aid resolution, what I'm looking for personally and in the form of ministry is to transform this year. If you was with us at the beginning of the show, you may have heard me say that this is going to be about boldness. And if we lose some listeners in the process, God bless you. We still love you anyway. But there's too much crap going on in my church, in my family, for me just to want a Band-Aid resolution. What I have to do is be able to say, okay, God, how can I help with the Band-Aid resolution if that's what's needed right now for them? If my brother needs a Band-Aid, if I have the means to help the Band-Aid, but now I got to go further than that. Okay, do I need to have that hard conversation? Sisters, because I don't have any. Do I need to have that hard conversation with my sister and say, look, you need to keep your butt out the club, spending $40 a week on drinks, and then coming to me at the end of the month talking about I need some help with my rent. Get out of my face. I'm going to help you immediately, but if you keep doing the same thing, then maybe I'm not the one to help you, because this thing that looks like help now becomes a crutch. This thing that looks like help now becomes that thing that I am aiding you in. So not only did I put a Band-Aid on the situation, I'm preventing the healing from actually occurring, because there's something underneath that Band-Aid. There's a reason why the wound is still oozing out. I'm done, y'all.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
Let me throw this out there. And if y'all had anything on that, you know, the Band-Aid resolution versus the transformation, because transformation is important to me and y'all know that. My next question is, what are you willing to do about it? If you answered yes, that this topic is worth discussing, of financial healing, if you answered yes, that it's important, if you answered yes, that no, I'm not looking for just a Band-Aid resolution, but I'm looking for some long-term transformation, then my question to everybody, what are you willing to do about it? I can tell you personally, one of the things that I'm willing to do about it is to continue to be one of the hosts on this PRF table and say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done according to the ability that God has given me. If we're looking for some type of change, then it has to be something that we can actually hook or sink our teeth in to say, this is the manner in which I'm going to try to affect change. I'm not talking about doing anything on my own strength. Of course, I'm talking about doing it with God's help and God and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Saying all that to say, that's something that I can say that I'm willing to do. When I'm tired and Thursday rolls around, I'm still going to have the show. If I'm tired and Thursday rolls around and I don't think that I'm going to be effective, then I'll let the other hosts know so that they can make sure that the show continues to go on. Yeah. Look, y'all, we got to continue to talk about these things. Adia, Mama?
Well, for myself, I'm going to take your advice and stop buying so much food. I have been in a situation, even as a child, where there was never, I said the first 10 years of my life, there was never, ever enough food. I know for a good 10 years of my life, I can say 9.5 years of my life, there was never, ever enough food. And I was always, not just me, but my brother, you know, we were always hungry. Always hungry. And it's just something that I always want to make sure there's food in my home. And now that I'm, you know, when I was working, well, you know, I had money coming in, you know, every week because I was getting paid every week. But now, you know, where I am now, what we don't have, we don't have. So if I don't buy, if the weather is bad, you know, here it floods here. It floods so much where I live here until we can't even go out the door, you know. And so I just want to make sure that I have food in the house. But with that being said, I have to change my thinking on that, because is that really effective for me? I don't know the last time I've been without food. You know. So I'm gonna have to lose that and set a budget of this is how much I'll just buy the basic stuff. You know, my refrigerator don't have to be so full until you can hardly close the door. Or my freezer, or my cabinets. You know, so I have changed my mind on that and going to set a limit and get the basic things you need, like milk and bread and eggs and things, and use what I have up. So that's one way that I can start, you know, having money to take care of some of the other things that I really need to take care of.
Let me tell you, it is amazing when we get to the point where we say, look, there's something that I need to do differently. I am going to be the first one to tell you, and everybody else that's out there listening, that when we are willing to say and actually are at a point when we say, look, I'm going to do something different, I just believe my God in heaven says, I can work with that. I can work with that. Oftentimes, and this is how my theology is framed, God is waiting for us to do something before mm-hmm. he does something.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're willing to do something, it may not be, and more likely than not, it's not going to be to the magnitude that God can do it himself, because he can do much more than what we could ever do. But the reality is, if I need something, I can ask him for it, but if the means for me to make that change and make that adjustment is right there around me, he works with that. We had somebody who posted, and I just posted it on our Facebook page, says, financial healing starts when mental transformation takes place. You must first retrain the mind. Very good comment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're connected with me on Facebook, you would have saw that I had two scriptures. One was my Facebook profile page, and the other one was the background, whatever that's called. And one of those scriptures was out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about the comment that the brother just said. Financial healing starts when mental transformation takes place. You must first retrain the mind. And when you look at Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, and I'm coming out of the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing
mm-hmm.
and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly timing. So the question is, what do we do with this mental transformation? How do we get there? If somebody comes to us and say, look, I want to make a change. I just don't know what to do. As Brother Feaster would say, you have to have courage enough to care. One of the, there's some sayings out here that I just absolutely detest. One of them is, how you doing? How you doing? Because oftentimes when people ask that question, I told you I'm going to be so bold and ignorant this year, it's crazy. When people ask that question, they ask it usually in passing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on a job, test my theory out tomorrow. Walk through the halls of your institution or wherever you work and just try to remember how many times somebody say, how you doing this morning?
Mm-hmm.
How you doing this afternoon? And then I want you to go back the next day on Monday. And when that same person or those same people ask you that same question, say, I'm having a bad day. Not to speak it into your life, but
mm-hmm.
see what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to find out, if 50 people on Friday, because today is Thursday, if 50 people on Friday see you at work tomorrow, they ask, how you doing, ma'am? And if you start saying, well, I'm not really having a good day,
mm-hmm.
what type of response do they come after that?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are things that are constantly put out there in our world just as things to say.
Exactly.
Can't stand that saying, how you doing? Don't ask me how I'm doing unless you got time to listen to how I'm really doing. Every day ain't a good day.
Yep.
I'm not gonna be super spiritual and say, well, I'm above the ground. You got people in comas above the ground, so stop sounding stupid. Seriously. That's real deal.
Yeah.
You can't tell nobody who has somebody in the hospital that's in a coma or in a comatose state or having tubes to breathe for them, well, at least he's breathing. No. So we have to be mindful of the things that we say. So to my brother's point when he said that transformation, it takes place in the mind, that's right, because it takes you to be able to think about what the things that you're saying, not just the things that you're saying, but what other people are saying to you. I love that scripture. I love Romans 12, 1 and 2. I had it on my Facebook page. Now, I made it, and I'm going to tell you something. I made it up in my mind last year on December 31st, or maybe December 30th. I said, this is, or maybe it was January 1st, I'm going to meditate on these two scriptures all year long. And it was two of them, but I only gave you one so far. I said, I'm going to meditate on this scripture all year long. So last year, if I said I had a resolution, I made my resolution. I kept that scripture on my Facebook page all year. But I also meditated on it because, look, this thing is about transformation.
Amen.
Brother comes back. Let me tell you, brother just made another comment to us, so I'll read it. You must first be honest with yourself and acknowledge your way is not working. And the evidence of that is your current situation. Good gracious.
That right there
you must
is on
first
point.
Be honest with yourself and acknowledge your way is not working. And the evidence of that
that's
is your
point.
Current situation.
That's the point.
That's good.
That's my point right there.
Can I take us somewhere else? I'm going to take us somewhere else real quick. Remember what we're talking about for everybody, for those who may have just been joining us. We're talking about financial healing. And I'm going to go to a scripture, and it's just really going to really set a tone in some people's minds. I know it is because it's been burning in me ever since the show started tonight. If somebody is in need of a healing, then that means there is something that is out of whack. If a person has a broken arm, then that means that bone has been broken in at least one place. Mama, you mentioned about the sore from the burn. The only reason that your arm was bubbling up was because some heat got to it and disrupted the skin, which was not a normal thing.
Right.
Adia, you started off tonight's show, and don't trip y'all when I say this, but you mentioned sexual healing and you talked about the body and how the body craves certain things. If you are hungry right now, it's because you have not put something in your stomach that craves that hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And people die of starvation.
They do.
People die of starvation. So check this out. Do we need to be talking, do we need to talk about financial healing?
Yes.
In John's Gospel, chapter 5, there's a story about a lame man. And this lame man was it's a place called Bethesda. He was at this pool. And there was a lot of people there. There was a whole bunch of sick people. There was a whole bunch of people that was blind. There was a whole bunch of people that was lame, couldn't walk, paralyzed. And outside of this place, the sheep gate, or this near the city, outside of that, all these people were outside this porch, on the porch. And there's one person that was lying over to the side. Some of you may have heard it. The man who was sick for 38 years. 38 years. So here comes Jesus. Jesus saw him. He knew who he was. He knew he had been there for a long time. He asked him a question. And Adia, I really want you to take it and run with this. The question that he asked was, sir, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Here's the response. I'm about to drop the mic, Adia. You know it. The response that the man said was, I can't. That's the first thing he said. I can't. Next thing he said was, I have nobody to put me in the pool when the water comes up. When the water starts bubbling up. The whole thing was, the water in this pool, an angel came once at a certain time, and when the angel came and the water started bubbling up, then people were able to get their healing. They sought their healing inside of this pool. So what this man is saying, every time the pool waters rise up, somebody always gets there in front of me. The question was, do you want to be healed? The response was, I can't. The next thing was, everybody gets in front of me. So that's why I can't. But Adia, please speak to us on this. The question was, do you want to get healed? I ain't asking about the people.
So it's funny that you would ask me this, because a couple of Sundays ago, the Lord just laid on my heart in church service. You can just feel the anointing of the Lord. And the Lord was like, there are people here that you need something from me. And he said, just and so the analogy that I gave, I mean, I didn't just talk about it, but I reenacted the man sitting down by this pool. And my words were, the same way that that man was sitting down at that pool and was waiting, and every time the water would get troubled, it was always something that kept him from getting there. It was never, you know, I don't recall the Bible saying him asking, but it was always somebody else's fault. It was always somebody else's responsibility, but never him saying, hey, I need to get to the pool, using the word boldness. Using boldness and taking authority to say, I need you to take me to this pool. And so what the Lord laid on my heart was that there were people sitting in service in the 21st century that needed something from God, but they were not willing to raise their hand or even to open up their mouth from where they were sitting at to say, God, this is what I need. And so instead of getting what they needed, they left out the same way that they came. And what it goes back to is that the question is, how long will we continue? How long will I continue to say I have a need, but the reason that I can't get it is because of other people? How long will I continue to have this need, but still sit back and just let it be a thought in my mind that I have a need, but I'm still not at a point in my life to where I'm going to get up and do something about it? So whereas, again, we see this man who was sitting by this pool for 38 years, and when the time came for him to get his healing, his response, which should have been, yes, I want to be healed, he was still focused on the people around him and how maybe he thought they did him wrong and should have been helping him get to the pool, but they were only worried about themselves. Well, if he was worried about the healing that he supposedly wanted, if you knew you couldn't walk, then you could have done something else. And so my point was that if you know you need something, why would you sit there when you are already in the place and already in the position to where you see that the water is troubled, knowing that God is right there? And so what I opened up my book, because I like the word, one thing, let me back up, one word that Cousin Mary said that when she was talking, what I heard was complacency. If people decide to be complacent, then they're going to continue to get what they've always gotten. The other one was obedience. So I don't want to contradict what you said, Cousin Mary, because sometimes we do have to make a sacrifice. We do have to say, this is all that I have, so I'm a sacrifice, or I'm a give out of a place of a sacrificial offering, because I'm believing God. But a lot of it goes back to obedience. And I did put on my Facebook page, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, obedience. One act of obedience can change not just your life, but generations to come. How do we get to the place of obedience? How do we get to the place of getting to the pool where the water is troubled and our healing is there? Is we got to make a decision. And if we're not yet in a place, if I am not yet in a place to make that decision, am I walking in obedience or am I walking in disobedience? Do I like where I'm at, so I'm complacent yet again, but yet I still want something to be changed in my life? And so now we have the question that can be asked. Jesus is saying, do you want to be healed? And so when we get to that question of do we want to be healed, we got to make a decision. And that one decision can't be based off of, well, I've been here for 38 years and I ain't got healed yet because the people pushed me out the way, or no one allowed my voice to be heard, or this happened, or this happened, or I've just been so used to living like this that now I don't get to own my decisions or take responsibility for what it is that I can affect and influence. So do you want to be healed financially? The answer should be yes. But for a lot of people, they're going to continue to look at their situation. And it's okay to look at your situation, but can you either out of obedience or sacrificially say, yes, I want to be healed? Because I believe that we can say, yes, we want to be healed, and still not understand what that fully means. And I say that because there are so many examples in the Bible to where somebody made a decision to do something, but they weren't always in the right place. And if I can, I was going to talk about Matthew. There were the two sons. And one of the father said to one son, he said, "Will you go to the vineyard and do whatever that you do at a vineyard?" And the one son said, "I will not go. I'm not going. Nope, Dad, I'm not going. I'm tired today. I got plans, and I'm not going." But then something happened with his heart to where it changed his mind. The conviction was there. It was like, wait a minute, my dad just asked me if I would go to the vineyard and work. And so that one, just, I can imagine, because I've been there, to where you said you wasn't going to do something, and then something happens, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing what you said you wasn't going to do, and you were blessed for it. Then you have the other son who says, I'll go, Dad. I'll go, Father. Yes, I'll go. And he didn't go. And so Jesus asked the question. He said, of the two, who did the will of their father? Was it the one that said, I'm not going to go, and then ended up going? Or was it the one that said, I'll go, and did not go? And so I think we got to get to a point in our lives that even if we don't fully understand something, even if we say yes, and we don't know what yes means for the financial healing or whatever kind of healing that we need, we got to know that if we say yes, or even if we say no, but then we come back and say, you know what, something triggered in my heart or in my mind to say, I need to do the opposite of what I just said that I wasn't going to do. Mm-hmm. And so you find that even though there were people in the Bible that said they weren't going to do something, and that conviction fell on them to where they realized that if they didn't do it, they were going to miss out on something. The other one was of the rich young ruler who said, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Oh, well, I've done that since I was a youth. Kept all of the Ten Commandments. He said, well, sell your possessions and give it to the poor and follow me. That young rich ruler walked away. He walked away, and he missed the healing, and he missed the blessing that he needs. And Jesus told him, he said, I will make you perfect. And if we understand what the definition of perfect is in God's eyesight, it means to be mature. Jesus was telling him, I got you. You'll have treasures in heaven, and I'm going to perfect you. But I just need you to sell your possessions. How many of us are at that point to where we're going to walk in obedience, even if we don't fully understand what we're saying yes to? Can we just give a sacrificial, yes, I need financial healing? And I think if we can make that decision, because for some people, this is going to be a critical year for some people. This is going to be a very critical year with some people. In 2014, they thought things were bad, but they're at a crossroad in 2015, and so they're going to have to make that one decision. I believe for a lot of people it's one decision that they need to make. And from that one decision, they will begin to see everything else lining up and falling in place. But you can't be complacent. You can't have or keep going in the same way that you went last year or the year before that or 5 years before that. Because like I think my sister Shatara put on Facebook, they was like, I don't want insanity anymore. And if you know what insanity is, we ain't talking about T-Song trying to lose no weight.
We talking about you keep doing the same things over and over again, and yet you're getting the same results. And so that's where I think we are, to where we have to ask ourselves that critical question, just like you, Randy, do I want to be healed? And what is my responsibility that I need to take about the matter of financial healing?
Mm-hmm.
And if you got to do it sacrificially, then do it sacrificially until you get to a place that you can just say, you know what, God, I know you got me. Because not everybody is in the same place in their faith walk. Not everybody is in the same place in the level of trust. And so if you got to have the faith the size of a mustard seed, well, then have the faith the size of a mustard seed, but don't have no faith. And a lot of people have been walking around with no faith. They ain't even got to the part about faith without works is dead. They just don't even have faith. But if we can get to that point of I got faith the size of a mustard seed, yep, I want my healing, and I'm not blaming nobody else for it, I believe that we'll see a turnaround in people's finances in 2015. And I just want to say this one thing because it was laid on my heart to just share this. So last year we talked about priorities, and I remember I was in my car driving home from work, and I remember the conversation we were saying, what are your priorities when you're going into the Christmas season? And my response was, I want to be debt-free, and I believe that was the same for Cousin Mary as well.
Mm.
I did not forget that. And because it was such a priority for me, when me and my husband sat down to talk about what we were going to do for our kids and other people for Christmas, we were just like, the decision was made. We're not spending a lot of money. And we didn't. Because the priority was, we want to be out of debt. And so I believe that when you say things out loud and when you have the conversation, we sat our kids down and we said, okay, y'all tell us some things that y'all want for Christmas. They put together, they were all on the internet and put together a list and they gave it to us. We said, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this, but we're not going to be able to do this. And our children were okay with it and they understood. And I told them, I said, because we're trying to get out of debt. We're trying to pay debts off. And we can't pay off debts if we're trying to sit up here and buy y'all everything that y'all asking for and there's no return on the investment. Not that I don't love my children. Not that I don't want them to have a nice Christmas. But I want them to understand that we have decisions that have to be made. And so if we understand the direction and the vision that we have for ourselves individually and for our families, then we can get back to that one decision that you make will change or can change your life and for generations to come. That's what I was living last year when I sat down and we talked to our kids. And because it's on the forefront of our mind, I told my husband, I said, we're going to get there. And I just want to give this one little quick praise report before I drop the mic and give it to Cousin Mary or Nate. I just paid my car off, and I thank God for that. Because
what?
When you set up and when you make a decision and you commit to it, no one on this earth can't tell me that God won't allow that thing to come to pass. And so little by little, the word of God tells us in Deuteronomy, he says you can possess the land. Little by little, you can possess the land. And so if it means a little bit here and a little bit here, make the decision to do the little and let it pay dividends for you. Make a priority and stick with it. Speak those things that are not as though they be, and watch and see the hand of God move on your life because you've made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, Cousin Mary,
that's
all I got.
So cool. It's so cool. And the words that I'm hearing is obedience. If I say I'm going to do this, then I have to be obedient to it. And in my obedience means it also is the word commitment. Am I committed to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say a lot of things. I can say this is what I want to do. But is it really in my heart to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just head knowledge and it sounds good? But I have to... Because God wants me out of debt. He doesn't want me all bound up and always thinking about money. Well, that I can't do this and I can't do that because. No, he has, like you say, make a plan, you know, and it tells us in the word to make a plan, make it clear, sit down, just make a plan on how I'm going to do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you talked bringing up the book of Deuteronomy about, he says, possess that land little by little. So I might not can pay $100, but on one bill I can pay an extra $10.
Mm-hmm.
See? And I mean, and then the commitment, am I committed to what I'm saying I'm going to be obedient to? And I have to be persistent with it, no matter what it looks like. I have to be persistent, and I have to be determined, no matter what. This is what I have to do. And I have to want to do it. You know, just because a storm comes up and there's a thunder, you know, I hear thunder, it doesn't matter because I've made a plan here. And I'm going to stay committed to this plan. Because why? Because I want to be debt free, so to speak, you know. And just being able to pay my bills on time without having to make a phone call to my creditors, that's a goal for me. But it won't happen if I'm not committed. If I'm not willing to make the change and be honest with myself and acknowledge that my way is not working, as was just been said, and how do I know my way is not working? Because the evidence is here in front of me. It's not working. And then I will see a transformation. I'll see a transformation. Yes, I'll see it. Because God will come and help me. He'll come in and help me because he will see that I'm willing. So it has to be in my heart. I have to want to do this. God, I want to do this. I want to change my spending habits. I really want to change and really mean that when I say it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it for form and fashion, make myself feel good and shout about it. But it's in my heart. God, do I really want to be this way? Am I content being like this from month to month?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I have to examine myself. I have to really examine myself and find out, be real with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, in Proverbs, he says, acknowledge me. He said, first of all, put your trust in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, acknowledge me in all your ways. That means all. A-L-L means everything. So that means even my finances. I have to acknowledge him in my finances. And not just paying my bills, but I do, you know, need to give to the kingdom of God. And when I go to my church, it's nice and comfortable, you know. So I can give $5. I mean, I can give that quote 10% they're taught, you know, how we've been taught. But that's not the point. If I can give $5, I'm fine, if I'm giving it willingly. And if he said the lady, she only had a penny, she gave more than those that were had to give. So I have to really start evaluating my priorities and be honest with myself and really just not know this head knowledge, but get in my spirit that my way is not working and I need to change. Amen.
Can I address that, though?
Sure.
Yes, that is important. It is important for what I heard you say, that confession piece.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, this is what I want to do. I can't do it by myself. That is important. But here's one of the things that I think is worth talking about. I've heard a lot about this must be in our heart. Let's go back to what's in the book of Romans. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I told y'all I'm going to get stupid ignorant this year. The reality is this. The confession part is easy. the believing part is not.
Okay.
I don't believe as a child that you're going to take care of me unless I see you taking care of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something, the belief about something is not going to come just because we confess it. It is usually the belief of something that usually happens is always going to be because of a process that occurs. For you, it may be a process of 3 weeks. For me, it may be a process of today, one day. Everybody doesn't have the same belief, doesn't come to everybody in the same way. Somebody who was homeless may believe because they've been kept from the elements for being out on the street for 2 years. I may believe because I got a good job that I'm securing, that I know I'm getting a check every 2 weeks. How I believe and trust God is different than that person that's homeless believing and trusting God.
Right.
So it's not just it's not so easy just to say we believe and then actually believe, because your belief has only come as your testimony.
Yes.
And commitment.
Okay.
Commitment.
Okay,
I think that is a good thing.
Okay,
I think it's a real good
repeat.
Thing to have commitment, but you got to build up to get into commitment. Let's look at what we just talked about with John chapter 5. When I preached this sermon, however many times I preached, I said, you know what, here's the thing. We talk about this man, but how many times have we been this man? How many times have we been, has God asked us, are you going to go ahead and do it? Well, I can't. I did that with chaplaincy. Before I started seminary, first time, put in my resignation at my job, was walking away from it to follow this path, and I heard God say, Army chaplaincy. You know what I said? God, how can I do that? I need to get my feet wet in this chaplain, in this seminary thing, because I'm going to be up and down the road 7 days a week. So guess what? When I decided in my mind, okay, I got this hang of the seminary thing, I'm learning. 6 months later almost, it was pure D hell trying to get in. Pure D hell trying to get in. Did God give grace? Yes, he did. After I received the hell.
Amen.
But he gave the grace afterwards.
Yes. Okay.
So we are in some of these same situations. We don't, if we don't talk about it, we don't know it. All y'all saw, I became a chaplain. But y'all didn't, nobody else saw the part that I said, you know what? I know why this happened like this. Because when I heard it, I should have acted on it. So we don't have to beat up ourselves at all when we're the person who, when Jesus says to us, or when God says to us, or when Father says to us, do you want your financial healing?
Yes.
And you can't respond the way that we really believe you should respond. When God says, do you want this? Say yes. But it takes it takes you to even build up to be even have that type of mindset to be able to say, yes, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
The thing is not supposed, it ain't about it being easy. So we're talking about financial healing. The reality is this. This is for me as one of the hosts on the PR table. If there's going to be a healing, I'd rather the Band-Aid be on there for 4 weeks than the Band-Aid be on there for two. 2 weeks later, got to get another Band-Aid put on there, and it had to stay for 4 weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about a healing, y'all, we're talking about a process.
Mm-hmm.
I did not name the show, and God didn't lead me to say financial miracle. Go watch Peter pop off of that.
Okay.
We ain't talking about that. We're talking about a healing. So that means we're dealing with a process.
Yes.
That's how transformation comes. It's through a process.
Mm-hmm.
There's another scripture that I was talking about that was one of the other meditation scripture for me last year was this. And I think we're going to go because some of y'all may want to watch Scandal and all that other stuff. I'm just kidding. You know, I don't really care about that. But in Luke chapter 9,
uh-huh.
verse 62 says this, and Jesus told him, anybody who puts their hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There were some things that I had to let go in 2014. I didn't let it go on December 31st. Throughout the year, I had to let some stuff go. I had to let some feelings go about chopping some jokers in the throat.
Oh,
they did me wrong.
Yeah.
I had to let some stuff go with some low-down, dirty pastors and preachers. I'm just talking about me. Because if I wanted to be healed, then I had to let some stuff go. I'm not saying, oh, don't worry about it. But what I'm saying is, for that healing process, I went through that healing process to be able to deal with some of those things. And some of y'all know, it wasn't easy in 2014. Chitara can attest to it. Mama can attest to it. There was some craziness going on in 2014. And I want to be honest, and I'm still healing, because every now and then when I get certain phone calls, it makes me want to still go chop some people in the throat. But if I chop them in the throat, then what I'm doing is I'm opening up and pulling that Band-Aid back off, which means I'm going to have to start the healing process over again.
That's good.
Next week, y'all, next week when we come together, we are going to look at this and look at some of the other questions that are actually going to be actually out there already for this particular series for this month. So some of the other questions are, what are some of the economic challenges in 2015 for your community? See, we talked a lot about self today, our own individual circumstances. Next week, let's talk about what's the challenges in your community. Because when we ask that question, the next question, which we talked about tonight, we said it tonight as well, what are you willing to do about it? I'm going to blow some people's minds, and I'll say it now. Why in the world will God heal you financially if you ain't going to do nothing for nobody else? It is what it is. Why would God heal you financially? Why would God make you debt-free? Why would God help you to make sure that you can pay off that car note? Why would God make sure that you ain't got to call a bunch of creditors every month, maybe every other month or every 3 months? But why would God do that for you to have more if you're not going to help somebody else?
Amen.
Another question, this financial healing. Is this something that you have to do by yourself? Or is there a community among you that you're willing, that's willing to walk with you through the process? Is this something you willing that you have to do by yourself? That's not one of those yes, no answers to the question. Because I guarantee you there's some people that have to do it by themselves because there's some sorry people around them. Some people probably have to do it by themselves because there's some sorry people that's in their church. Some people have to do it by themselves because there's some selfish people around them. Some people have to do it by themselves because there's some ignorant people around them that don't know where to get the help from. They don't know where to get the resources from. But that other part of that question, is there a community among you willing to walk with you through the process? If you don't know, you don't act. If you don't know, you never get the answer. Adia, you mentioned it about the people sitting there in church. So when we get through this next week, somebody say, I need some help. I just don't need, it ain't like I just need some money, but, you know, I really don't understand this credit thing. Like Brother Dunlap and Adia was talking about a couple weeks ago on a PR table. I don't understand how this debt to balance the limit ratio thing works. It sounds all confusing, but I know it affects me. So I need somebody to break this down. Who you got there that could actually help me through this? Because I'm looking to buy a car next week. oh, we find out that you probably don't want to go try to buy a car next week with this type of credit. So now the next part of the process is, who's going to help you when that person has that raggedy car and know they need a new car? How many people sitting with more than one car in the driveway? I remember several years ago, I had like three cars. One of them I used for work, and one of my partners, he was one of my groomsmen. Car broke down or whatever it was, and he asked, and I never thought about it. I can only drive one at a time. That's walking through the process. Because as he was able to take care of what he needed to take care of, he didn't have to worry about not being able to get back and forth to work, not being able to take his wife to work when she had to go to work as well. Y'all, this is 9:15. We are going to set it down. Remember that scripture. Anyone who puts their hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom. I think we all have a desire to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. We know that there are some challenges out there. We know there's some challenges in our individual lives. There's some challenges in our communities. But we're just going to try to do this thing together, because if you know anything about PRF, PRF has two foundational meditative scriptures. One is the second chapter of Acts, verse 42 to 47, and the other one is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Take a look at those, and then you'll get a better understanding of where we're coming from here on the PRF table. So with that, Adia, Mama, thank you all for being at the table with us. Thank all of our listeners. We have several comments that are out there on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Invite somebody else to the table next week. You know somebody else needs to hear what's being said and what God is saying through this show. So we ask for you to just be a part of it. So with that, we see you next week. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.